Brown in motion. Here's a first down snap out of the gun. Oh, he tosses it right into the arms of Lawrence Guy. You gotta be kidding me.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program, available on Apple Podcasts and at NFL.com/DDFP. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
The 2019 Cleveland Browns, the face, the latest face of the curse of Sposta. Yes, high hopes over the summertime and prior to that for Baker and Freddie and everybody else. They were Super Bowl contenders, we were told. Now they are victims left at the side of the road on the way to Super Bowl whatever. What is it? Super Bowl 54? I can't keep that straight in my head. It's 54, right there, Spaghetti? I don't know. We don't have time to talk about it. We have an hour left in the trade deadline at the time of this recording. 54. Eddie Spaghetti, your team's already ahead of the curve. You got Leonard Williams. Congratulations, man. Well worth it. Well, I mean, that team now, look out, next stop, the Stars.
I mean, he's young. But and they're going to get a compensation pick back from the Landon Collins signing. So essentially, if he re-signs, it's like a fourth
rounder. Yeah, but there's no evidence that guys should sign because they got traded for.
Okay, then we just give up a fifth for eight games.
I guess that makes sense. Anyway, hi and hello and welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, presented as always by our pals over at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. Go get you some of those. We have much to kibitz about. Week 8 in the books, week 9 fast approaching, and the trade deadline, like we say, is just about wrapped up. Some big names out there, and again, we have an hour to go. I don't know if it's wise that we're spinning right now or if we should have waited an hour, but I think it's more exciting if something big happens while we're on the air. I can't imagine this will be the most popular podcast in the history of people, I would guess. Probably the most downloaded. Seated to my immediate left to talk about the trade deadline in the NFL, and he also is in my fantasy league, and he has been for, I think, about 15 years or so. People seem to care about this fantasy league. One sports guy, Bill Simmons, was revealing some embarrassing stuff about me on his show with the cousin Sal, apparently earlier in the week. But it's time to make things right now. Seated to my immediate left, Buffalo Bills fan, the one actual team from the state of New York. I think that's right, isn't it? It's my old pal going way back to the Man Show days. He was a producer. That's when we first fell in love. Then did you go to Crank Angers?
I did.
And then we did the Kimmel Show together, and now serendipity has brought us together once again here at the NFL.
Back together again.
And you always were somebody who loved your Bills and your pregame and during game and post game drinking. You always like that. You like in no particular order, those things.
No, but it's just something I'm good at.
Yeah.
And enjoy it.
Yeah. And basketball too.
That I'm very good
at. If you've heard me talk about our 3-on-3 games that we used to always play at Corolla's house, Brian Barton is probably the second greatest of all time.
This is true.
Second greatest to Kevin Hench.
Yes, I'd say he was.
I used to push for you to be called the greatest in the blue top history, but
I could not shoot like him.
Nah, you couldn't. Few can, really. Anyhow, so Brian Barton is here, and like I say, he's a fan of them Buffalo Bills. Spaghetti, what did you make about that whole controversy, that little mini dust-up about the do the Bills count as a New York team? I don't understand the argument against it.
I mean, yeah.
They're from New York.
They're a New York team, yeah.
But did you see that online this weekend that people were debating whether or not the Bills should count as a New York team?
They're in Buffalo, New York. It's a New York team. Yeah, the Giants and Jets play in Jersey, but they're 10, 15 minutes from this, Manhattan.
I get it. I just thought that was one of the more vapid things I've seen.
Nothing about them is New York, except the name. That's it. Everything's in Jersey. Facilities, playing.
Well, one thing's for sure. You got the best team in New York, and even if you are going to count the Jets this and the Giants, true. The Bills, confidence level right now, we keep evaluating it because it's all that matters. This is not college football. It doesn't matter where you rank them. There is not a top 31 through 32 that matters. All that matters is where you're seated come January and getting one of those six seeds. Are you overflowing with confidence, or was that Eagles loss something that revealed I don't know what that has caused concern for you moving forward?
No, I think we're all cautiously optimistic. The Eagles game was planted in between the Dolphins and the Redskins, so an NFC East loss isn't anything for the future. We've got a nice schedule coming up. We got Browns, Broncos, Jets again, Dolphins again. So
I think
we can easily get to 10.
I think 10 is fine. And see, I can tell already in your voice, you're a victim of low expectations.
This is true.
Right? I mean, we should get to 10 and that'll be good. Don't you want to make some hay?
It's the process. And since McDermott and Beaner got there, we had a 5-year plan and we're at, you know, stage 3, which is get the playoffs. Nice. It'd be nice to win one, but not a big deal. Next year we win one. And then through free agency in the draft, we get to be Super Bowl contenders.
All right. I wanted to talk with you about this now. Yeah, I listen. And by the way, I don't know as good as Lamar Jackson has been. I continue to say. And by the way, I was on this train 1 year ago. Eddie Spaghetti, you were here for it. And so I want you to verify this to the people, to the cynics out there. I was on board that at the start of 2018, they should have started Lamar Jackson, not Joe Flacco. There was no business. There's no reason to even bring Flacco in, period. But when he did take over, I consistently said last year he gives them a better chance of winning in 2018. And I said all through the summer and into the season, I think Lamar Jackson is going to thrive. I think the knuckleball offense that they're running is going to succeed for a year. However, I don't think Lamar Jackson and that offense succeed in 2020 and beyond. I just don't buy that that is something that is sustainable long term. And therefore, given the performances of Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold and the non-existent Josh Rosen, and with all due respect to the 2-time Monday Night Football winner, Mason Rudolph, I think Josh Allen stands a chance. And in fact, I would say the best chance that 5 years from now, he will wear the banner of best quarterback in that draft.
I agree. He is progressing a lot, I wouldn't say quicker than we thought, but we knew it would take time, and it has taken time. But, you know, he's a Buffalo Bills quarterback, and no one liked him going into the draft and coming out, so he's under more scrutiny than these other guys. And obviously, Lamar Jackson's playing out of his mind, and Josh Allen's right there behind him. I think it's almost reverse draft order and how good these guys are.
That's interesting. Yeah, you might literally be able to invert it
Rosen,
it that way.
Rosen's a little weird.
I'm not counting Rudolph. Obviously, I'm making a joke there. But also, I don't think he is an abject bum. And let me say this before we go any further as we dip into some other stuff. I just want to say as a side note, because at this point, the 3-4 Pittsburgh Steelers stand as a footnote right now. They're not in one of those six seeds right now. But I do want to say, this nonsense, Andy Dalton comes available. People are on social media saying, oh, the Steelers should go get him. They have Mason Rudolph. And by the way, they have Ben Roethlisberger coming back. What do people have short-term memory problems or something that they don't understand that Roethlisberger hurt his elbow, but by all accounts is coming back and should be ready to roll at the start of 2020? He's 38. He's not 49 years of age. He's, you know, he's still got a few more years. And Minkah Fitzpatrick, therefore, made sense as a guy for the Steelers to get. And by the way, there are 10 teams currently ahead of the Pittsburgh Steelers in draft position. They did not give up a top 5 pick that could have been used on a 50-50 coin flip quarterback coming out of the draft instead of a surefire high-end safety in Minkah Fitzpatrick. Anyway, that's a side note. And I don't think Mason Rudolph, unless you think that the Jags are out of it because they don't have Nick Foles, and just because Cam Newton hasn't played, if you don't think that the Panthers are out of anything as a result, then you also can't declare that the Steelers season is dead because Mason Rudolph is their quarterback. Anyhow, Brian, let's talk. What was your favorite bit that I did on the main? No, let's do you. Do you remember any of my bits?
Fruit of the year. Oh. I believe the year it was a Macintosh.
Let me tell you something.
2004.
I got news for you. I called for fruit to get better in 2019 after two down years. It started collectively. The produce started resting on its laurels. Maybe I made too big a star out of fruit as a collective rule. And they, you know, they took their foot off the gas. And I'm looking at everybody. Yeah, Honeycrisp stayed good enough. And yeah, watermelon had some sweet months there. But overall, 2017 and 2018 were down years for fruit. And you'll recall, I called out the white peach a year ago. And you know what? 2019, the fruit has rallied. I've had some delicious strawberries of late. Honeycrisps, I cannot wait to try the Cosmic Crisp. Red grapes, green grapes have been delicious. It's all happening right now.
Speaking of grapes, my daughter's just turned me on to cotton candy grapes. Have you seen these?
I've had them. It's not a matter of seeing them. It's better to taste them. And I've tasted them, and they happen to taste weirdly like cotton candy.
It is kind of crazy, but a little too sweet for me, but I do like them.
Where do you come down ethically on it? That it's this manufactured, this man-made element to the fruit. I mean, like, I don't know. This is a controversial statement. I don't mind necessarily the HGH, you know? Like, if that, you know, when baseball had it all over the place, I wasn't necessarily philosophically against it. In fact, I berated my Pittsburgh Pirates when everybody else was making hay. Sosa, McGuire, Bonds, everybody was tisking at them. I was tisking at the Pirates. Where's your commitment to winning? Everybody else is doing it.
This is true.
What are you doing? So I'm on the fence about it, but I think I'm okay with man involving himself in Mother Nature's business.
Yes, and it's all how you cultivate it.
Stop doing your texting. Well, what are you doing?
Are you trying to make a trade? This is a live trade offer.
I want to make a trade.
So, Craig,
we're in the same fantasy league. This is the league that involves Simmons and Sal and all the and Hench and everybody else. And I was trying to be a wheeler and dealer over the weekend. And I want to say right now, because it's already out there, people may have heard it. I've not heard the program personally. His show, but Bill Simmons does apparently a podcast of his own.
I haven't heard of it.
You've not heard it?
No.
Have you ever listened to it, Spaghetti?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I've ever heard of.
I've heard good things.
Is it on the internet?
How do you spell Simmons?
I think it's S-Y.
So I don't know. Anyway, that's not important right now. He offered me. Tevin Coleman and Mike Evans, who combined to score 172 touchdowns on Sunday in exchange for Nuke Hopkins and the Saints defense. And I said, no. In hindsight, do I feel silly? I do a little bit, but I want to work out. I want to make things right now and work out a trade with you right now. Let's look over. I know it's not interesting to hear about other people's fantasy leagues, but if we can manufacture a deal, as everybody else is trying to deal right now, here's something else. Put a pin in this one, Spaghetti. I want to talk about this as soon as Brian and I solve my running back situation and I solve his needs, because you're in last place.
I don't know if that's true.
Well, you're suffering is the point. You're going nowhere. The Bar Owls of 2019 are going nowhere if the Cool Cats run by Damashek can't help out. Here's what I want, though. I want us to both come out winners here. You see?
You're going to have to give up
something. I don't want anyone to lose. There's no reason anyone has to lose something here. Now, I want to put a pin in this one, though, Spaghetti. What if, just for fun, this is to measure Tom Brady right now in 2019. Let's see how what we think teams' record or the Patriots' records would be if they traded Tom Brady for some other quarterbacks of note. In the meantime, Bar Owls. You have Aaron Jones. I would like to have Aaron Jones on my team. He's a good running back. I happen to have the luxury of a deep roster. You need more than one player. Here's my trade offer to you right now. You ready?
I am.
Okay. I want you to don't try to be zany right now. Don't try to win the audience over by saying something disparaging to your old pal Dave. Are you ready? Courtland Sutton, emerging superstar for the Denver Broncos. Jordan Howard, power back, just ran through the Bills, but that's over with now. Look ahead. He hurt your team on Sunday, but now he can help your fantasy team going forward. Jordan Howard, and all I'm asking for is Aaron Jones, who's splitting carries with Jamal Williams anyway. It's a good trade.
It is not.
Spaghetti, what do you think about that trade offer? Weigh in here.
I would not move Aaron Jones for that package.
Right.
Aaron Jones is like,
what? What is he?
He's Rodgers' go-to guy.
Go-to guy.
Especially with Davante Adams.
Adams is going to come back,
the top 10
what?
Running back for the rest of the season.
What do you have, turf toe? Turf toe lingers. He's throwing the ball to Jones as well. I mean, they split carries, but Jones is the back on pretty much every, the first three downs, most drives.
I mean, Jamal Williams getting plenty of run out there. All right, now, here's how this works, Brian. You make a counteroffer. And understand.
I want Barkley.
Well, I'm not giving you no Saquon Barkley. What are you going to give me for Saquon Barkley?
Julio.
Oh, well, now, well, wait a second. What is it, Julio Jones? Is that who you mean?
You might have to give up. Let's see what your wide receivers.
I mean, I would give you that same package. Now, how about that, Spaghetti, on this going nowhere bum Falcons team with Matt Schaub maybe throwing them the ball? What do you think about that? Now, let's talk about Jordan Howard and Courtland Sutton for Julio Jones. I don't know if I can even make that trade because I need I wouldn't have a running back then. I need Jordan Howard. What do you think of that, though, Spaghetti?
Jordan Howard and Courtland Sutton for Julio Jones?
For Julio Jones.
I don't know. I don't know if I would give up Julio Jones for that either. You're not PPR?
It's not PPR, one. Okay. And two, keep in mind, Saquon, and I have Nuke Hopkins, and I have Michael Thomas, and I have Deshaun Watson.
It's a good squad.
You see? So I have the luxury of high-end talent. Unfortunately, Brian and his partner Powell do not have much depth of talent there, so they need to spread it around. You have to start 9 guys after all, I think. Is that right? 9 guys? Whatever it is. What do you think about that?
Yeah, but now Sutton, who's playing quarterback for the Broncos?
You know what I'll also do? Because I like you. It's only owed to that. I wouldn't do this for everybody, but I'll do it for you. The Bills, they're a nice story. The defense is good, but they're not going to be productive in fantasy terms. I'll give you the Saints defense. That's a good trade.
I don't need the Saints defense. Why can't Barkley be part of a deal?
I mean, he could be, but it would have to be prohibitive.
Well, I mean, Aaron Jones is the top 10 back. And
Julio Jones. What you're saying to me is you'll give – what you're suggesting here and now, if I'm hearing you correctly, is Saquon Barkley for Aaron Jones and Julio Jones. Now, that's interesting to me. That intrigues, because Saquon is the best running back.
This is true.
He's the best fantasy player, period, to have, with the possible exception of the Patriots defense. Except that, that would give you, Saquon. Yeah, I mean, that's something. What do you think about that offer? What do you think about that deal? Julio and Aaron Jones for Saquon. What do you think about that one, Spaghetti? Who wins that?
I don't think I would give those. That's a 2-for-1 that wouldn't help.
What if he throws? But you could give me Sutton.
Wait a second. I got to give you Sutton now, too?
Yes, Brandon Allen's best receiver. Can I have him?
You don't know what's going to be up there. He's the only guy who catches passes in Denver. That's a good trade. What about if we did just a tick below Curtis Samuel, who is showing flashes and Cam's on his way back? Curtis Samuel and Saquon for Aaron Jones. I mean, look, you're talking about a running back by committee. Aaron Jones, we're talking about Saquon Barkley, Saquon Barkley we're talking about here. Julio Jones, rudderless. Who knows what happens?
Rudderless.
That team's going nowhere. They're rudderless. Spaghetti, what do you think about that?
Great game script will say there's going to be a lot of garbage time for Julio.
I'm a PPR mind, so I'm skewed, but like Aaron Jones is having a great season, and Julio Jones is having a great season, so those are hard guys to give up for.
You're not helping me at all here.
I'm just being fair.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones has 8 touchdowns.
You think that's not a good trade right there?
Jones has 8 rushing touchdowns, 3 receiving touchdowns. He's 11 touchdowns.
I know, but you don't even know what Saquon's going to be. You can't look at Saquon's numbers because he sat out for 6 weeks, but now he's fresh.
But the Packers are going to be consistent the rest of the way. That's the one thing. They're going to, and the Falcons got rid of Sanu, so Julio is going to be the guy, which is why why you want to go
Calvin
for
Ridley.
Sure.
No, Calvin Ridley. What do you mean? Sanu was the number 3 there. Calvin Ridley is the number 2.
Yeah, exactly, but there's one less guy to throw to, I'm saying.
All right.
Schaub found Julio a bunch last week. Julio had a great game.
Okay.
The second coming of Schaub.
So is that the deal? It's Saquon and Curtis Samuel for Julio Jones. And Aaron Jones. I don't think that's a guy, legitimately, for the Jones brothers. What do you think?
I think it's got to be Sutton.
It's got to be Sutton.
I think so.
If I give you Cortland Sutton and Saquon Barkley, you will repay me. And we will both come out winners with Aaron Jones.
I do have Jamal Williams.
Oh, so I would also then get Jamal Williams?
Well, we'd have to see what you got.
Then I'll give you Adrian Peterson. Just to be nice, so we both wind up with the same number on our rosters.
Right.
That's a good trade.
It's not a bad trade.
All right, I want you to take that back.
I will.
Go ahead. By the end of this show, you have to text me and let me know what you think. Brian, we have to talk about real football. I'd like you to sit around if you want to. You're welcome to stay. How's the show going so far? How's the you're working on game day morning, by the way, on NFL Network?
It's going great. The guys are in London this week, calling the game.
Oh, they are.
4 men in a booth. They did it week 6. The Panthers-Bucks game, which was great.
That means early day drinking for Brian at his desk with the bosses away.
Yeah.
The Barton Show play, right?
Well, I get to watch the Bills from the kickoff. Usually our show goes off the air at 10, so I have to race up the 405 to my...
Of all the guys that are out there on the panel... Every Sunday, everybody knows who they are. It's Eisen, and it's Irvin, and it's Kurt Warner,
yes.
And it's Mooch. I got everybody?
Yes.
Who's your favorite? Who's the nicest guy?
Well, I work very closely with Kurt. He's my guy.
So Kurt's your favorite?
By far.
Number one?
By far.
Who's your least favorite?
Definitely Mooch.
Mooch is your least favorite.
Yeah,
it's weird because you don't hear that. I'm glad the truth is finally coming out. This thing. Oh, Mooch is the nicest guy in sports media.
Get behind the curtain.
Barton's here to say otherwise. Barton's here to say no.
You should see how he treats people.
Really?
Oh, it's dirty. It's nasty. It's not good.
Yeah, I've heard he throws cold cuts at people.
Yeah. Eats most of them, but throws them.
All right.
Okay.
I'm worried that Kamish Goodell or somebody, because he listens to this all the time. I don't know if he'll get it, and so I don't want you getting any hot water here.
Oh.
So you let me know about that trade. I like that trade. What do you think about that? See, that's fun. That's why you do the fantasy football, because it's a fun trade. My team's riding high. We agree at least that there are 2 first place teams in our league right now. The Cool Cats,
literally
with 2
yes.
K's. The Cool Cats are America's team. No one wants to see Simmons win, right? You don't want to see that.
I think he's doing all right. Otherwise, he doesn't need this.
Nah. I don't know what you're saying about me because by the transit property.
Sorry. You're doing okay, Dave.
Okay is exactly right. C minus. All right. You go, Brian
yes,
Barton.
Goodbye.
I thought that was fun. Thanks for stopping in.
Yeah. This
is my best format, but
we could, if we,
what is your best format?
If there was beer in this cup,
then we would have been rolling.
We'd have fun
after hours. Yes. Got to make that one.
Well, what
happen,
kind of producer
spaghetti?
Is he? Not to put whiskey in there.
Yeah, you're right. See, know your talent.
They unplugged the fridge. So I got nothing left.
Look, he's right, already well, this, talent now. All right, let's solidify that.
Yes.
Let's put pen to paper and make that thing so. We'll sign all the cross the T's, dot the I's, and now Spaghetti and I will press forward here. Thanks for stopping in, Brian.
Hey, it was great to be with you.
Hey, good luck. And
there's a what if we get busted for a conspiracy here?
Congrats on. There's no conspiracy. This is all out in light of day, right? I mean, there's nothing you could say about this. You don't need a transcript of this. Got a recording right here to listen to for verification of any questions that may have arisen there. So Spaghetti, thanks, Brian. There he goes out the door. To my little exercise here, what about Tom Brady? Tom Brady is still in the top 10 quarterbacks in the league, But just as a for instance, Andy Dalton, were he the quarterback for the last decade of the New England Patriots, would they have won any Super Bowls?
They were 8-0 one year, right, to start in 2015, I think, to start the Bengals. So I think if the, I think he's a guy that if you have a good O-line and weapons and your defense has to be, you know, not what, like, the Chiefs' defense is, I think he could be a passenger, yeah, sure. He was league average at one point. He was, like, number 16 out of 32 at one point.
I know that most teams, and we keep talking about that it's about defense this year, it's about controlling the line of scrimmage as always. Come January, it's about getting to the QB with the pass rush and being able to run the ball in 2019. That is clearly, these are the two key elements, more so than who your quarterback is. Look at the teams that are succeeding this year. Andy Dalton, I mean, it does feel to me, do you think they could drop Jared Stidham in there and win? Do you think, I mean, they just got Cody Kessler. I mean, the Patriots. Andy Dalton, would that make sense? I would not think the sky is falling if I were a Patriots guy.
Dalton right now, I don't know, but I think, I mean, there are other guys in the league who are closer to the middle. I think they definitely could win it with someone other. I mean, Tom Brady right now wasn't the Tom Brady of the 07 years. So, I mean, yeah, I don't think your quarterback has to be. Look, I mean, your point is what? It's a coach's league. That's what you've been saying this whole, I feel like 2019, your motto
right.
For that. Matt Moore stepped in an Andy Reid coach team, and he looked, you know, great. Kyle Allen stepped in for Cam Newton, looked great. Teddy Bridgewater stepped in for Drew Brees, looked great. There's so many guys, the backups, that just step into a really good situation, and they could perform. So I think, yeah, the Patriots right now were probably the best situation, maybe outside of Green Bay or New Orleans in the whole NFL.
I would, speaking of some backup QBs and this and that, and I mentioned Gardner Minshew, I would definitely not. One thing that is hooey and applesauce, and I don't want to be all over the place. Kyle Allen has been a fine replacement. The idea that you have a Hall of Famer in my book in Cam Newton and that you would consider trading him away is loco in my book, given his age. He's not 38. And I did say a couple of weeks ago, if Mason Rudolph, and it's a major if, it's a hypothetical, but if Mason Rudolph were to win 8 games and the Steelers went to the playoffs, a $30 million contract for 38-year-old Ben Roethlisberger coming off the surgery, I think that the Steelers would probably see what's out there. But Cam Newton's a 30-year-old guy, and I know he has a big deal upcoming here, but he, in the NFL, gives you a chance to win games when you have nothing else around. Witness the 2015 season. And now with Curtis Samuel and DJ Moore and Christian McCaffrey, it's sort of sad and frustrating, surely for one and for the Panthers, too, that they have that this offense should be a dominant offense. It's fine with Kyle Allen, but think about that offense with those pieces that you would have surrounding one this year. I think they could really make some hay, so I definitely wouldn't be trading him. However, it's sitting right there in front of you. Why aren't the Bears going and getting Nick Foles? Doesn't it seem like that would make them, given their placement right now, that and going forward, that getting Nick Foles is the solution there?
Yeah, they need to get any guy that's like a win now mode. They can't afford to get a young quarterback and develop him because that team is right. Like, the defense is ready to go. I think last I saw they were ranked like 10th, so they're still upper echelon of the NFL. Allen Robinson is a great receiver. They have really not used Trey Burton much this year. They have two good running backs. They have to get a guy like Foles or someone of that kind of area in the league where they could just plug him in and he could just be good. He could be decent enough to get you through there, like what an Alex Smith was years ago for the Chiefs, something like that.
Well, I mean, at this point, the two big names are Lincoln Riley and Matt Rhule. You keep hearing those guys. Well, they're going to land somewhere in the NFL. And I do think that the Josh Rowe, first of all, we've seen a lot of this. Oh, a coach 1 year. It was something that would never happen or happen more rarely, at least, than it happens now, that a coach would get a one and done kind of situation. But now Matt Nagy, I know they went to the playoffs and the ball hit two of the uprights and everything in that playoff game. But right now, I think it's completely conceivable that Matt Nagy could get blown out here and up in Chicago. And I think that could happen elsewhere. And also, I think the Josh Rosen trade from Arizona also makes you think if you're looking around the league and the copycat league and everything else. The Cardinals, that. Well, I mean, you can't. They had Josh Rosen. They used the 10th on him. They can't very well hire a different coach, and that, you know, they're not going to blow out Bowles after that short an opportunity, and they're not going to get rid of Rosen. And what are they going to do? And now Arizona is in a better situation than some teams, at least. I think you're going to see teams starting to do that. The idea that, well, we already have a guy on a rookie deal in Mitch Trubisky, we're kind of pot committed there for the next couple of years, I think is no longer the case. I think that so Nagy would do well to insist upon getting Nick Foles. He didn't draft Trubisky, first of all. Nagy took over with Trubisky. Right. So I think you could make a compelling case if you're him. You guys got to help me out here. I need Nick Foles. I can't make it work with Trubisky here. No one else is going to be able to either. And so in the name of saving his job, I think that that would be a reasonable trade to make here at the trade deadline.
Without a doubt. I think Nagy keeps his job, and I think Pace, unfortunately, he's always going to be associated with the Trubisky trading up for Trubisky, but he's built a pretty good team outside of Trubisky. I think that they're definitely Mitch won't be the starter. Like, if he plays the way he's playing for a couple more weeks, he's his tenure is done in Chicago, without a doubt. So I agree. Foles, if there's anyone else besides, I mean, who else is, like, theoretically out there? I mean, would Teddy leave New Orleans at this point? No. Would the Chargers move Tyrod Taylor? Probably not. Like, any guy that's, like, proven that he could win enough games. But I guess Foles, I mean, obviously with the Super Bowl, is probably the most proven guy of that group.
Tyrod Taylor's an interesting guy. I mean, he's a playoff quarterback out there. Yeah. He's not going to take over for the Chargers in 2020 if Phil Rivers were to move to Tennessee or whatever. That wouldn't be a suitable replacement, I don't think. Although Tyrod Taylor obviously has had some success. He was in the playoffs.
Sure.
Was that 2 years? I guess that was 3 years ago at this point. But as you can see, I do keep saying a lot of QB movement upcoming. Andy Dalton's days in Cincy are essentially now finished, and I think he's a viable starter. I think he's better than some of the, at least two or three of the starters out there in the league right now. Joe Flacco's going to move. That's obvious. I don't know if he has anything left in the tank.
What's funny quick about Dalton is that he's like fourth in the league in passing yards. It's like, I mean, they benched him, but I don't think it's just the bad old line, no AJ Green. It's just, you know, he's in a bad situation.
Spaghetti, do you know off the top of your head, I'm just trying to go through your outline here a little bit that you laid out, some mid-season playoff predictions. That's right. Everybody does their mid-season awards. Like, here's my eight games in MVP. That doesn't matter. That's rearview mirror stuff. Who's going to be the star come New Year's Eve? Let's try and evaluate that a little bit right now. The Patriots are almost certainly a lock at this point in the AFC with that Chiefs loss. No one from the South is going to get it. And unless I'm being overly cynical, I just don't see the Ravens beating them, beating New England this weekend. Maybe I'll be proven wrong. I don't see that one happening. And even if it does happen, I still think the Patriots would. Now, yeah, I keep pointing to the five games that they have upcoming, the Patriots, and it's conceivable that they would lose a couple of those or even three of those. But I still think, positioned as they are, I think that they are a number one seed almost certainly. They're going to finish 13. And at this point, it's hard for me to conceive of them being anything absolutely worse than 13-3, correct? It's a near impossibility. Who's gonna vanquish them four times over the second half of the slate?
No, you're probably right. Although I do weirdly like the Ravens' chances. I'm still pretty high on Lamar Jackson, but yeah, about three losses.
Ravens would have to beat the Patriots, though. They'd have to beat the Cowboys, right? I mean, what's they're going to get the number one seed, the Patriots. All right, I hear you, but they still have to play the Browns again, who already whipped them. They have to play them in Cleveland. They have to play Pittsburgh. Those are usually 50-50 type games. I'm trying to, the Ravens do still have another, at least besides the Patriots. Anyway, given that with the two losses that they already have. Anyway, I don't want to belabor.
Sure.
Patriots are going to be the number one seed
yes.
on that side. We talked about it a week ago on the NFC side. It's fine that halfway through the season that the 49ers are undefeated and that some might perceive them to not be the number one team in the conference. It was weird a week ago, though, that I think a lot of people would have put the Saints and would have put the Saints ahead of them, Green Bay ahead of them. Yeah, I think some people would consider the Vikings at least ahead of them, Philly and or Dallas. Now I think it's pretty close. I still, though, think that the Saints are considered to be the best team. The Niners still have to play Seattle, and they have to play the Rams, and I'm trying to think what the Niners have left here. But I think who do you think winds up with the number one there, Spaghetti, in the NFC?
I want to go with the Packers. I think the Packers are pretty I mean, their defense early on in the year looked great, and it's kind of fallen off a bit, but now the offense has picked up the slack. If Aaron Rodgers now seems like he took over the MVP lead over McCaffrey or Russell Wilson.
Oh, you think so, eh?
I think so. Aaron, like we talked about before, Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams, but that committee is as good as any committee, or you know, the Green Bay running back is as good as any running back in the NFL right now.
What do you think of that trade, by the way? What do you think it came down?
It's a pretty even trade. I could see it going one, you know, I could see either. It's a pretty 50-50, to be honest. I'm not even sure why you even made it, but
why? Because
I don't know. I don't know how much it improves either team. But I mean, yeah, I just like the. I think they're rolling right now. Everyone was worried about the Matt LaFleur Rodgers relationship, and people forgot about that really, really quickly. I believe their only loss was to the Eagles week one. The 49ers shocked me that they beat the Panthers the way they did. I thought the Panthers would come in, score a lot of points on them somehow, and they wouldn't be able to catch up. But, I mean, that defense is – they're going to win. I mean, Nick Bosa, I know I put it in the rundown. I think he's, like, the best addition out of any teams made in the entire offseason. It could be a
free – Oh, not just even draft.
No, not just draft. Like, free agent. Whatever. Like, he's – like he that team – the defense line was good last year with Buckner and all those guys. They were a good front seven last year, but he's – I mean, he has seven sacks. He had the interception.
Like, I think that's right.
Insane.
I think that's right. And it's not fair to split it between the Smith boys up in Green Bay. But those would be, I don't even know which way to lean on that. But that's been everything for the Packers. And that's why they're dangerous. Well, that's secondary, if healthy, plus their ability to pass rush, they're going to be dangerous come January. I don't know, though, that they end up with the number one seed. Here's what San Francisco has left at Arizona. They have the Seahawks after that. And it's funny that everybody sort of, you talk about like narratives and what people react to. Nobody thought the Niners were going to be good. Save your old pal Dave, who told you that they would win the division coming into the year. But it's funny that they destroyed the Browns. They humiliated them on Monday Night Football. So, well, there's a big one for the Browns. That's a big game for the Browns. Are going to get right. And then they get annihilated. And somehow the Niners come out of that game without universal praise. Okay, let's see how they do against the bully of the division, against the Rams. They have to go down to L.A. Let's see how real these Niners are. The Niners completely shut down Jared Goff in that one. They handle the Rams in Los Angeles. That's an impressive win. Then it pours rain in our nation's capital, and they survive that one 9-0. By the way, it's a shutout against a pro football team. They shut out but 9-0. Well, that wasn't impressive. See, the Niners aren't that good, everybody said. And then Carolina pays them a visit, and they destroy one of the feel-good stories, Kyle Allen and the Carolina Panthers so far. So what more does this Niners team need to do before anybody buys it? They go at Arizona. They play Seattle twice, including one up in Seattle, and just to finish the season. And the week before that, they host the Rams. That may be what it comes down to. And then here's a real tough patch for the Niners in the middle is they go Green Bay at the Ravens at the Saints. So I don't think that team, given the second half of the schedule, I mean, obviously they're not going to, let's say they lose three of those games. The Packers only have the one loss, really should be two because of the Detroit one. The Packers go at the Chargers, then at the Niners, at the Giants. I mean, they have an easier road. Yeah, they go at the Vikings is their toughest looming game, I would say. So, yeah, I think you're right. I think the Packers wind up with the number one seed. The Niners get the two, but there's time still for the Seahawks at least to steal the division. My big takeaway in terms of playoff seedings is I stand by what I said in the preseason. The Rams, the defending NFC champs, are not going to make the playoffs. It's not necessarily a huge knock on them, and I don't even think the Vikings are going to be the team that gets the second wild card. I think that Seattle will get one.
I was going to say it's a race between Seattle, the Vikings, the Rams, and maybe, I mean, mean, if you buy into one of the NFC East teams.
That's it. That's exactly right.
I think they're going to fall away. I think the Vikings have a 2-win lead, and the Rams and the Rams have a 1-win lead, and the Seahawks have a 2-win lead. The Rams are in a tough spot. I think the Seahawks and the Vikings won't.
That's exactly right. I think the Vikings are going to go away. I mean, they're a good competitive team, but I think the number crunch for them is going to get them. I'm looking for Philly real quick here, and then I want to go through them and tell you why I think that they're going to come on. The offensive line, the weird struggles are bizarre because of how talented it is, injuries aside. They go now. That was the big one for them. I said the big one that they had to get was at Buffalo. So they did. Now they're 4-4, whole second half of the season, hosting Chicago this weekend. They should win that. The loss will be hosting the Patriots, but I don't think that's even a gimme for the Patriots to come in following the Ravens game. Well, I guess they'll be coming off the bye, will the Patriots. They host the Seahawks. They host the Cowboys. I think Philly has maybe two losses left the rest of the way here. So they should go 6-2, which makes them 10-6. And I think that'll be enough for them to get the division. To get the wild card. The bugaboo, though, for them is that the Vikings beat them head to head. And so that could loom large. On the other side of that, though, the Vikings go at the Chiefs. They go at the Cowboys, at the Seahawks, at the Chargers, who I suspect are going to make their perennial second half push here. They host the Packers, and they host the Packers in the second to last game of the season. I think that combines to, I'm going to say 1, 2, 3. I think they're going to be right there at about 10-6, but maybe 9-7 if they can't keep this going. And I know everybody's on board with Kirk Cousins, but I still don't necessarily like that as much as I like Carson Wentz and the Seahawks. I mean, and the Eagles getting over the hump with that big win against a really good Bills team. That was an impressive victory on Sunday for them.
I think being 4-4 just hurts them because you have a 6-2 team in second place. You have a 6-2 team in second place. You have a 5-3 Rams team in third place. And then if you want to maybe throw the Panthers in there, Panthers are 4-3, so they're kind of in the mix too. I mean, the Eagles certainly still could win the division, but I think Dallas is the better team in the NFC East. I still think the Vikings will get one of the wild cards, and I think that the NFC West will have another. I'm not certain. I don't know why I'm a 49ers hater this year, but I'm not certain the 49ers win the division. I think it's one of them or Seattle.
It's but those two left. I mean, obviously, if Seattle sweeps it, then they're a wild card. The Niners are.
Sure.
I would say, so I think that your number one seed is the Patriots. Your two seed, I think, is still going to end up being KC. I think the Ravens are going to fall back. They'll get the 3 seed, and then I think the Colts will hold on and win that division.
Why? Because Watt is out, or
I think it's funny if you watch Monday Night Football that Booger McFarlane consistently said, "Well, it doesn't matter. They got Deshaun Watson." I think it does matter that they don't have one of the great defensive players of the 21st century,
certainly,
and still their best defensive player for the Texans to remove him from the equation. Well, Deshaun Watson will just carry the day. At the time of this recording, they haven't acquired Melvin Gordon or, I don't know, Le'Veon Bell or something like that. But if the Texans did that, that would swing things. Or if they could get Derek Wolfe away from Denver or something like that. But as constituted, their defense was already not especially good. You take away its best player, I think they're in some trouble. In fact, I think the Colts will wind up with the 3 seed and then... Yeah, no, again, no. They're head-to-head. The Titans are pretty good. I think that's the team to watch out for is the Titans. They are very quietly a pretty good team, even though they could have just as easily lost to the Buccaneers and, in fact, should have on another blown call by the officials there, an early whistle. Among MVP – I didn't do the whole thing. So AFC, to round it out.
Yeah, you need the two wild cards. So what it is, you're going to be Buffalo –
Buffalo is almost certain.
Yeah.
Houston, I think, is going to fall back.
Huh.
And if I had to say, I think that's the point of doing the show, is that I have to say one way or the other what I think. I'm going to go with the team I just mentioned to you, the Tennessee Titans. I think that they get the 6th seed.
With Ryan Tannehill?
That's right. Wow. I just said it.
That's bold.
There's a bold prediction there. The Texans, they just lost J.J. Watt. I am fluid enough that I can update my preseason predictions if there is a massive loss injury-wise, and so I have to take the Texans off the board, much as it pains me to say so. The NFC side, I think you're right. The Packers get the one seed. I think the Niners will hold on and get the two seed. I think Seattle will get the top wild card. They will be your five seed. The three seed will be the Eagles. And then I think they're going to rally to win the division. And although the Cowboys' second half slate is...
What happens if the Dallas in the next 45 minutes makes a trade
for Jamal Adams? Yeah. Then they bump up even higher. Then they take the division.
Yeah.
I'll revert to that. But remember, the second half of the season is when Zeke is going to start to shine. Same thing goes in Nashville for Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. He emerges in the second halves of NFL seasons, and we're just now at the midway point. And Ryan Tannehill is a better option than Marcus Mariota. It's almost weird that Mariota, what Ryan Tannehill's going to do it? He's the same pedigree as Mariota, essentially. I mean, he was a first-round pick. I know that, and he was not an atrocity in Miami. Things got sideways in Miami, and Adam Gase has proven himself not to be a great NFL head coach when Peyton Manning isn't his quarterback. So I buy Ryan Tannehill as a viable starter, a guy who can win some games in the NFL. So let's see then. The other team, Packers 1, Saints 2, Niners 3, Eagles 4, Cowboys 5, and Cowboys 5.
Would be either Seattle, Minnesota, or Rams.
Oh, in Seattle.
Seattle. Right. So Seattle's a 6.
That's it. Seattle's, that's how it'll lay out for you.
So there two you NFC East teams. So the NFC East has a late push. So we're assuming, let's say, do you think the Eagles make a move? Maybe like Chris Harris, get another cornerback?
It would be wise of them to do so.
Yeah.
And
they need help. I think they need help to make a push. I think they're in it, but I think their secondary is weak. Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if they have what it would take to get him, though, to get Jamal Adams. I don't know if they have enough value to give back to the Jets there. But the Jets, by all accounts, including from Daniel Jeremiah, say that they're trying to load up on picks so that they can use the second through fourth rounds to just load up on offensive linemen to try and fix that mess. But speak of guys that are going to be one and done, Adam Gase. I can't imagine that the Jets would bring him back for another year, given how awful the PR is beyond everything, but beyond the performance, the way things have been handled there. I would expect that Adam Gase is going to be shown the door.
Yeah, I agree.
By the end of the season, if not before. MVP, throw me some names. Let's decide on our MVP. Rookie of the year. Defensively has to be Nick Bosa.
Totally.
That's defensive player of the year. This is starting to get some buzz now for Nick Bosa. And by the way, it's sustainable because of the overall dominance and of the Niners pass rush of their front four. You can start double teaming Nick Bosa all you want, but then the other guys are going to wreck. And so Nick Bosa is manhandling grown men out there every week, it seems. He really is trucking some guys out there. So he might pull the upset and get past Aaron Donald, one of the great defensive players in NFL history. The offensive rookie of the year?
Daniel Jones. I'll throw that out there. I think he had a really good game the other day. I mean, they have the Dolphins, they have the Redskins again, they have the Jets. So he's a couple games where he could, throw 3-4 touchdowns and light it up. And I think that award pretty much goes to, if you have a quarterback who plays somewhat decent, I think he can get it. I mean, Kyler Murray will be in the mix, but the NFC West is a lot tougher than the Giants' remaining schedule. Especially even with the Eagles, I don't think the Eagles defense is that great, especially their cornerback. So I think he could have a decent game versus them. There could be a late season push if a dark horse like Miles Sanders or Jordan Montgomery, if Mike may come alive, if the Bears want to start using him. I think Miles Sanders finally had a pretty good game versus the Bills. I know in the passing game, I know he had a couple, only had like three runs, but for a bunch of yards. So, I mean, he's another name I think that could be in the mix.
I'll tell you this. I think so. Yeah.
Hollywood Brown, too, if he comes back healthy. He was really early on.
And TJ Hawkinson has not been consistent. Yeah, you might be onto something with Dimes. Or, you know what? Wait a second.
Kyle is probably ahead of him, but I think that just the divisional opponents will.
Well, Minshew's got to be ahead of Dimes, though, ultimately.
Stat-wise, no. I don't think so.
Yeah, but people vibe to teams that win. And if they wind up 8-8 or better and your guys wind up 4-12 or whatever, I don't think I think that will win the day for Minshew. Plus, the mustache and everything else has gotten a lot of attention. I think right now people would say, but it's funny how quickly people forget. Lamar Jackson, when they went into their bye, was everybody's MVP after he vanquished Russell Wilson. And now because they took a week off, people have left him now out of the MVP conversation, it seems. I think that's right that he should be in it. I just don't think he is going to sustain that level. I think Russell Wilson is in a better position, although Justin Britt now, a bad offensive line or the pieces of it are not necessarily high end. So let's see if he can overcome that. Aaron Rodgers, I think, is rightly in the conversation. If I'm wrong and Deshaun Watson can overcome the absence of J.J. Watt, I think he definitely deserves consideration, especially with Nuke Hopkins he's not Nuke Hopkins dependent this year in terms of targets and everything. The guy who I would love to hear some buzz for, and I don't know if it's necessarily warranted just yet, but the Colts were about to lose to the Broncos at home. Did you see the play with maybe, well, I was going to say, I don't want to do the same thing that analysts do. Whatever game analysts are watching, whatever game they're doing at the time, is like, this guy's in the conversation for MVP. That guy's in the conversation for Defensive Player of the Year. Whoever they're looking at is in the conversation for these things. I don't want to fall into that. But I almost said Von Miller. Best pass rusher of the 21st century. He's at least in that conversation.
Sure.
I think everybody would agree on that. Von Miller had him and was about the safety, Jacoby Brissett, and he ran away from it and then running hard to his right, flung it. He didn't just complete a pass. He completed a deep ball to salvage the drive and ultimately win the game. Jacoby Brissett, given the circumstances of Andrew Luck walking out the door. And I know the offensive line is one of the very best in the conference. I know the defense is one of the very best in the conference and so on. But T.Y. Hilton is very good, but he is not a dependable, I'm going to target this guy. He's not Michael Thomas. I'm going to target him 12 or 15 times a game. He is, you know, take the top off kind of a guy. I know he's more than just that. I'm not marginalizing him as two dimensional, but that's the best pass catcher he has. That's who he's throwing the ball to. I know he has some nice runners behind him, but how about Jacoby Brissett for MVP? If he wins the division this year, he deserves some buzz there, especially if I'm right that Lamar Jackson falls off and Deshaun Watson doesn't get to the playoffs. I think that, you know, it's then about Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson, brand name guys versus Jacoby Brissett. And just in the name of, just in the spirit of what this season has been with backup QBs. That's what Jacoby Brissett is. I'm going to throw him out because I want him to get some buzz at least. He probably won't get it. But if they win that division, I think Jacoby Brissett deserves some votes.
I wish there was like a different name to war because like he'll just be compared to Rodgers or Russell Wilson. His numbers won't hold up, and then or even like McCaffrey. But I wish there was more of like
he's 14 touchdowns, three picks so far this year. Russell Wilson 17-1. Rodgers is 16-2. Both have better passer ratings. Both are throwing for more yards right now than Jacoby Brissett by a pretty sizable chunk there. But I get what you're saying. I'm just saying in the spirit of the story.
Sure. Circumstantially, I totally agree with that. Especially, you know, no one expected much of them once Luck retired. And that's kind of like the problem with the awards, though, is like they're just going to go to usually the quarterback on a good team with the best stats. And then the same thing for the Heisman. Like the Heisman winner this year should be Chase Young at Ohio State, not to switch gears here. But it's just these awards have gotten this like weird attachment that it's like it could be a running back if the running back is overly great, or it's a quarterback with good stats on a winning team. And I think it's going to come down to Rodgers or Russell Wilson.
And let's round out our New Year's Eve predictions here. Coach of the year. No, we went off to do position groups. I mean, we went off to do the positional coaches, but or the assistant coach award, which is a real award. People, whatever it is, 5 years in, still aren't aware that it exists, but it does. Who's your coach of the year?
It's easy. You're just literally just talking about it. It's Frank Reich.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's exactly
the
right.
Answer.
I think you have gotten that correct there. Although Kyle Shanahan has benefited. I think he's had a pretty strong hand in what John Lynch has done. And it's interesting that John Lynch, obviously the defensive great, focused in on building that defense in multiple drafts. And by the way, nobody ever mentions at this point Reuben Foster, but imagine, and I know things wouldn't have broken the same if Reuben Foster had been there the whole time, but just imagine if you could plug in a clean sheeted Reuben Foster into that dominant defense, it'd be even better. But okay, well, that's neither here nor there. But quietly, and we talked about this through the offseason, Spaghetti, Sean McVay, got to get anybody who knows Sean McVay. And everybody was ignoring Kyle Allen, and that's why I said he shall rise like a phoenix, Kyle Shanahan. He's going to have the offense pretty close to where he wants it. And Tevin Coleman looking dynamite. And well, wait. Let's see. Wait a second here. I'm getting a trade. Here we go. Trade offer coming in from Hench. I don't think they don't want to trade. I tried to get Zeke Elliott from Hench. It's not going to happen.
Oh, sorry.
Update for everybody.
I thought an actual trade was coming through.
I think what do you mean? My fantasy league doesn't tickle your
it's interesting. I know it's talked about on many podcasts, but I think if Le'Veon Bell or Jamal Adams or Von Miller were traded.
Okay. So let's decide. You could look at the AFC East, Belichick could get consideration.
He should, but it's like the problem with him is like everyone expects it. I think Reich is in a position where no one expected it once Andrew Luck retired. By the way, Andrew Luck retiring is it should have still been the biggest news of the whole NFL season. No one talks about it really anymore. It's like it's just so weird how the news cycle works. But I think that's why Frank Reich, because the team hasn't really skipped a beat. They were built well. You could say it's they're actually similar to like the 49ers. The GM and the coach both are equally deserve the credit for building the team and coaching the team through their issues, and they deserve either one of them. I'd be fine with Shanahan or Reich. I'm trying to think if there's a surprise team. The
Bills.
The McDermott can be in consideration.
I'm with you, man. That team, the Colts, were a Super Bowl contender. A lot of people were picking them with Andrew Luck. But then when the way that they handled it, too, he didn't want to play. Mm-hmm. And they're like, yeah, we support it. I thought that was a little Pollyanna on their part. But when I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Like Orbach at the end of Dirty Dancing. They obviously knew some. Ballard and Reich didn't seem to bat an eye at that. And the team hit the ground running. Freddie Kitchens is not the coach of the year.
No, he's not. I'll throw another dark horse name, and I think this is going to be a second half team that surprises some people. I think the Raiders can go on a run and be actually competitive.
I love it.
Darren Waller is one of the best tight ends in the league. He's had a remarkable career turnaround. If they get Tyrell Williams back and healthy, like as a deep threat for Derek Carr, Derek's looked really good this year. I'm not just saying that because David comes on the show all the time and he's a great guy. Like Derek actually looks like he should be. There's no reason why he should not be the quarterback for the Vegas Raiders. Like I think at this point, if you get rid of him, you're only going to hurt yourself and just have two more years of losing.
Wonder if he's the comeback player of the year.
He's been so good. Josh Jacobs is great. Clean Ferrell had a pretty good game versus the Texans. Like it's
and that's his draft. With all respect to Mayock, it's more Gruden than Mayock by most accounts. There, I also think he's not going to win it either, but Sean Payton deserves a shout out for thriving while the Hall of Famer Breeze was sitting down there. Shanahan, like I say, deserves a shout. And I think that, Gruden's a fun pick. That's for sure. I think I'll go Reich, but again, I think the Jags are looming. They're lurking, playing all right. I think the Titans will get past them. And I think another one, John Harbaugh, deserves credit for at least committing to what he had. Ozzie took Lamar Jackson with his last first round pick as the GM, and sort of committed them to a style of ball that John Harbaugh could have rejected or, you know, tepidly embraced. And instead of the success in the second half of 2018, he could have tried to stick with that. Instead, Greg Roman, they went all in. And by the way, Greg Roman, if this sustains, he'll be your assistant coach of the year, I bet, for really developing what the Ravens are doing there. Anyway, all right, Spaghetti, is that good? Was that enough show for you?
I think we got almost coming up in an hour.
Oh,
an hour.
My God, yeah. What?
Yeah.
An hour?
Yeah, so hopefully we end this, and then there's still about a half hour to pull back the curtain, about a half hour left before the deadline, so hopefully no massive trades come through. Although, just to cover our bases, what I've been reading during the show is that it looks like Le'Veon Bell or Jamal Adams will not be traded, according to various insiders, so hopefully we're saved here.
It's funny, I'm also hearing that they're doing the Bills are looking at Melvin Gordon. I would expect them to try to move him.
That was my Raiders point of my surprise team second half. In division, they have the Broncos, they have the Chargers, they have the Jets, they have the Bengals. Lions next week.
Chargers, don't fall into that trap. The Chargers always make a second half push. They will again this year.
Okay.
All right, good stuff, Spaghetti. Good stuff, Brian Barton. We'll be back tomorrow. And by the way, I didn't mention it at the top. Sorry, the fires in...
Oh, yeah.
Southern California made it so I couldn't get down the freeway to get in here on Monday. So now you have this, I guess, essentially week 8 and trade deadline review. We'll be back tomorrow, Wednesday, with our pals Matt Money Smith and Handsome Hank Hodgson and Eddie Spaghetti, of course, to give you the Week 9 Red Challenge flag picks. You know, it's Halloween. Maybe we should also try to do like our top 3 candies or something like that.
That's fine.
Everybody does. All right, we'll figure it out. Well, and if there are any big name trades, we'll cover those for you tomorrow. Until then, for Eddie Spaghetti and Barton and, of course, our pals over at Zaxby's, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.